kingdom protocol. Yeah. Just talking about the fact of how, oh, no, no, I just took the mindset I'm representing the king. See, that's staying on mission. And as a result, he wound up blessing, you know, a particular individual, you know, significant, you know, personnel, you know, in one particular country. Watch this, making a kingdom impact. Because there's a mission mindset. Stay on mission. Bring all that you have in harmony with this great commission. Or where the money, you know, issue is concerned. Because it's that money issue, you know, gets a lot of people. Come on, somebody say a lot of people. Allow God to show you how to reorganize your finances and responsibilities to prioritize faithfully tithing and giving offerings to his mission above all else. Why do you say that? Because God has set up this system of, you know, tithing and offering as a way to fund his mission in the earth. So God says, I'm expecting those who are my disciples to make this a priority. And I get it. We all have responsibilities and stuff going on, you know, so forth. I know inflation is still high and et cetera, et cetera. But God says, but my mission is still what's most important. So that's why, you know, we have a confession here at Impact Church that we are a 100% tithing church who tithes 100% of the time. I wish I had somebody with me on that. I'm going to say it again. We are a 100% tithing church who tithes 100% of the time. It's what we do. Why? Because we are mission-minded. Mission-minded. So sometimes you have to know how to make lifestyle adjustments so that you can make room for God's mission at the top of your financial plan and top of your financial portfolio. Sometimes you got to make financial adjustments. Just make it. Sometimes, yeah, I know now I'm going to say this, but don't think I'm cursing at you, okay? So sometimes you might need to drive a car that's half the price of that one that you want. I deserve to be blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And then we spiritualize it. You know, well, the Lord wants me to drive the best. You're right. He does. He drive it. But make sure it's in your budget. Because I'm sure some of you, like me, have blessed yourself before. Come on, I got anybody? Don't raise your hand. I'll just raise mine for all of us, okay? Well, you blessed yourself. I never will forget, you know, this was years ago now, you know, that it just came on me. The spirit came on me that I deserved a pickup truck. It's like, you know what? A pickup truck would be nice. The issue was I didn't have the budget for a pickup truck at the time. I had a car at the time. I had a burgundy two-door Chrysler LeBaron coupe paid for. That was good. But this spirit came upon me like, you deserve a blessing. You know how wonderful you are. I said, yeah, that's right, I am. You deserve a blessing. You know the Lord wants you blessed. I said, that's right, I know he does. The only issue was it wasn't in my budget. But I blessed myself anyway. And then I lied about it. Come on now. I blessed myself and then I told everybody how the Lord blessed me. That's the lying part. Well, make a long story short, that pickup truck became a financial. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was, you know, weighing me down out to drown me. And I remember I made a decision once I got myself in a better position. I paid that thing off. I was like, I'm going to drive this truck into the ground. I'm going to get my money back out of this. And that freed me from something during that particular time. That's, yeah, God wants us to have, you know, best things. There's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy it. You know, get it. But make sure that it's in your budget. Don't listen. Don't ever steal from God to bless yourself. Come on, I'm preaching better. You saying amen this morning. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. We're talking about staying on mission. Say it with me. Stay on mission. Yeah. Now, this experience with God has created this overwhelming experience of freedom for all humanity, where we're free from sin, where we're free from bondage. Come on, we're free from sickness and disease. We're free. But the thing that we can never lose sight of is that we are made to be free so that we can willfully serve others. It's almost kind of like an oxymoron, you know, a contradiction of terms, that you're free so that you can serve. Or let me use this language. You're free so that you can become a slave. It's like, see, our mind would say, well what am I free for then? You're free so that you can choose to serve the kingdom of God. I shared this on a few weeks ago. Keep this in mind. We are not created with a purpose, but we're created for a purpose. We're created for this mission. We're created for what we've been saying here for years. We're created to help make earth just like heaven. It's what we're created for. And you want to have the mindset that the freedom that God has given you is not just for your self-indulgence. Remember how we started this series, you know, Summer at Impact, that the church has done a masterful job of trying to create this environment where everyone feels comfortable. Everyone, you know, is accommodated. But the reality is the gospel is not very comfortable. So we have this whole thing that, you know, tends to happen now in church, is that every kind of message has to be warm and fuzzy, you know, and make you feel good. And because if you don't feel good, well, you may not come back. Well, I can't control that. Because it's not all warm and fuzzy. The gospel is designed to make you uncomfortable. And I told you where the Spirit of God has us going on next month. Don't you try to hide either. I'll come find you. It is intentionally to make us more uncomfortable. See, that's what Christianity does. Christianity makes you comfortable. Discipleship enters into this realm of uncomfortableness. And it serves. It serves. Notice what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way." Stop, pause, Selah. Think about that. If you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, Jesus is saying here, you must give up your way. Take up your cross. How often? How often? So not a one-time prayer. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Come on now. I know I'm not the only one who may sometime, you know, in your Christian experience, try to hang on to your own life. And Jesus says, that's not following me. Yeah, you may be saved. You may have the fire insurance, but you're not following me. You're not following me. Stop trying to hang on to your stuff. And take on what is most significant to me. And that is the mission of Almighty God. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27 says this. Watch this. Jesus talking. If you want to be my disciple. And see, if you're present or you're watching online, there's something going on the inside of you that's leaning towards Jesus. So he's speaking to you and me right now. If you want to be my disciple, watch this. You must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Now this is controversial. This is not comfortable. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else. And then he does this. Just in case you don't know who everyone else is, he says, let me name a few names for you. He said, your father, your mother, your wife, that would also include your husband for the ladies, and children, brothers and sisters, and just in case you thought I forgot, even your own life. says, if you're going to be my disciple, in comparison, in terms of sense of importance and in reverence, it should look like you would absolutely despise yourself by how much you value me and my mission. Your spouse, your father, your mother. And I get it. You know, especially like family wise, we can want to be the most important. You know, I'm the husband. I'm the head of my home. Well, truth be told, yes, biblically speaking, but kingdom speaking, no. What do you mean by that? Jesus is the head of the home. So let's not make ourselves to be, you know, the most important. Let's not make the other people in the house the most important. Come on, our spouse. Come on, we should love our spouse. You shouldn't have needed my cue on that one. I said we should love our spouse. Thank you. We should absolutely love our spouse. But Jesus says, but listen, but in comparison to me, it should look like in kind of the annals of heaven, like, man, that like nothing else matters to you. Nothing else matters to you like me and my mission. As parents, it can be easy to allow your life to slip over into this deception of centering everything around your children. Listen, here's a free parenting tip. You will hurt them. Huh? What? What are you talking about? This is my joy. This is my blessing. This is my angel. Okay, they are a joy. They are a blessing and not an angel. And there's one Lord. And if you are going to give them the proper life stability, security, force, and love, you have to make sure that they see that you value God and His mission above everything else, including them. Including them. My wife and I, Rhonda, we share with our kids all the time. Listen, the health of the family rests upon the strength of the marriage. Because we go away, you know, and leave them at least once a year. We go off on a trip. And they look at us like, how come we can't go? You know, a couple of years ago, we went to Hawaii and, you know, one of our kids was like, Hawaii, that's a family trip. Y'all can't go to just the two of you. I was like, oh, just watch us. What's going on? We try to reinforce to them, listen, it is absolutely vital that your mother and I have this time to minister to each other under God, so that God stays most important and keeps us strong together. Because if we lose sight of this and how He's brought this together, y'all in trouble. So you need us to leave y'all from time to time so we can come back and be better for you. I'm teaching better than you saying amen here. And listen, as a single parent, you need that. Yes. Hey, little precious ones, I'm about to go spend the weekend. Well, who? Me and Jesus. Well, can't we come? We want to come be with Jesus too. You're going to be with Jesus in your room at home while I go and have some time to enjoy Jesus. And watch this, enjoy what Jesus has provided for me. You have to have that. If you allow your life to just get centered just solely around them, you will hurt them. You will hurt them. Don't fall for that temptation. That's where our society likes to go. And they believe it's being noble. But that's just because much of our society functions in a spirit of Antichrist and is always trying to eliminate God from the equation. So that's what they normally do. And then they write books about it. And then Christians, we buy it and we absorb it. All right, Galatians chapter 5. For you, brethren, I like this, where Paul really kind of summarizes this whole thought process. He says, for you, brethren and sisters, were indeed called to freedom. Someone say, I'm free. He says, only though, please, do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. Paul says, yeah, you need to understand, you're free. Come on. Whom the Son is made free is free indeed. He says, but don't use this freedom as an incentive to your flesh. You weren't made free for you. You're made free for him. Thank you, Lord. Let me remind you of this multiplication, and what really is a multiplication mission, mind, life diagram, mind kind of mindset. Multiplication mission. Well, let me say it this way. Multiplication is the mission at the end of the day. So you can really almost use these two terms interchangeably. What most individuals wind up falling into, though, is that whole consumer-minded, life diagram. Let me show it to you again. Let's see the consumer-minded, first, where it's our life that's the center of everything. And then we've put everything around it. Come on, God is there, and God is, he's the top. See, that's a Christian, kind of mindset. And see, we got our family. Come on, our money, our life responsibilities, our business, our work. And yes, see, look, even the church. Well, see, one, that's all in error because you can't separate God in the church. So that's just a whole nother thing. But everything centers around us. That's that consumerism where, again, we're trying to hang on to our life and use God. But then where God comes in and what he's expecting of us is this multiplication-minded, life diagram that you see there. Where God and his mission is the trunk. It's the core of everything. And everything in your life and mine, it breeds off of this. Come on now, your family, your business and work, your school or training, your money, life responsibilities, relationships, recreation, leisure, retirement, next generation planning, whatever it is you can think of, it all now should be coming off of this foundation of God and his mission. And so when you understand that, you understand these particular 5 points. Number one is this. Our lives emerge out of a connection with God. That's what happens. Our lives come out of a connection with him. Our lives are built upon the foundation of God and his mission. We are not the center of life. He is. Let me remind us all again. God was not created for us. We were created for him. The different aspects, priorities of our lives are merely branches to the core and bedrock that is God and his mission. Our lives are designed to reflect the beauty of his presence and purpose. Every aspect of our lives is to be an expression of our intimate relationship with God and the mission to which he has commissioned us to. That's what God is looking for us to maintain the mindset of. So right here in this kind of almost middle of the year, I knew what my assignment was. It's to kind of remind us again how we started this year off. Come on, move with God. But we're not just moving for our own self-indulgence and fulfillment. We're moving so that we stay on his mission. Stay on his mission and allow our lives to be centered on everything that he has created. Here, we're going to end with this. In John chapter 4, verse 34, this is the kind of attitude we want to have. Jesus said, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. Can I put it in this language for you? Jesus said, the food that keeps me going is to stay on God's mission. So that's what keeps me going. Jesus had been, at the well and encountering, the particular Samaritan woman and so forth. The disciples had left him. Watch this, never leave Jesus. But they left him, by himself. They come back and they think he's hungry. And they're like, Jesus, you need to eat something, man. We need to stop, at Popeyes or something and get you some chicken. Jesus is like, listen, y'all don't get it. The food that keeps me going, what keeps me going is to stay on mission. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Disciples. How many disciples I have present? If The food that keeps Jesus going is to stay on mission. Guess what food keeps you going? Your diet is not different. Not in the kingdom. It's the same thing. Notice in John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Listen, that has to be our heart. We don't seek our own will. We are simply seeking the will of the Father who sent us. In other words, watch this, we are committed to stay on mission. And I got news for you. The way society presses upon our lives, it makes this difficult, because it's always trying to distract us and pull us in a different direction and make this, that, and the other so important. Where Jesus says, no, 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 slow down. Make sure that you're not seeking your own will, but the will of the Father who sent you. Now, let me balance this out. This doesn't mean now that you can't do some things like take a rest and take a vacation. You know, there was a, I'll just share it. Yeah, there was one particular pastor I was just talking to. He's just like, you know, man, I don't go on vacation unless I got a good church I can go to that Sunday morning. And he was kind of looking at me for an amen. I was like, huh, that's interesting. Because I'll just share with you. When I go on vacation, I'm probably asleep on Sunday morning until about 10 o'clock. I might catch up and be like, oh yeah, we got the service about to start. Let me you know, turn it on. Or not. Because I'm on vacation. So I'm trying to let my mind just completely, you know, kind of, you know, free up and so forth. See, now for me, watch this. If I turn on our service while I'm on vacation, I would no longer be on vacation. Can we talk? I'm going to be looking at that thing like, okay, the lyrics are slow. Like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Okay, that was off key. Huh? Okay, what's going on here? Okay, well, praise God. That was good. See, I'm going to wind up scrutinizing this thing. I'm going to enter right back in. So I recognize, just like, okay, I'm going to have some time with God. But I need that time with God where I can kind of disconnect for a minute, not disconnect from the mission, but kind of disconnect, watch this, from, you know, the pastoral responsibilities. Because before I'm anything else, I am just a disciple. So I can never disconnect from that. But as a pastor, I need to take that hat off for a minute. So, you know, just let myself, ooh, woosah. Yeah, yeah. And just enjoy Jesus as a disciple and get some rest. So there's some balance to it. So I don't want anyone walking out feeling like, well, now you just can't do anything now. Everything has to be on mission. Honey, are those eggs that you're about to make on the mission of God? Okay, cut it out. Don't take it all religious now. But have the attitude and have the mindset that everything we do, though, it is about mission with God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven with me. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, just open up your mouth and just thank him for the privilege of being in relationship with him. Yeah, of being his disciple. Yes, Lord God, we follow you. Yes, we embrace your sacrifice. We embrace your identity. We embrace your mission, sir. Help us, Daddy, to move enough where we can be effective for you in every place that we go and everything that we do. We absolutely love you, Father, and you are the most important thing in our lives. Help us to always reflect that in what we say and what we do, how we spend our time, how we use our talent, how we use our money, Father. May it all reflect at the highest level possible that you are the most important thing to us, and your mission, Father, is what is central in our lives. We love you, sir. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' wonderful name. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah indeed.